rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to the program where we say poverty, health care, and homelessness are moral issues. Not just guns, gays, and gods. Yaron Brook is with us. He's the executive director. This is the Tom Hartman radio program, by the way. Yaron Brook is the executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, AYNRAND.org. Ayn Rand, the author of Atlas Shrugged and Commentaries on Objectivism, which informed the libertarians who have seized control of the conservatives and the Republican Party. So you guys are the thinkers behind the thinkers behind the thinkers. And therefore, I think it's always useful for us to hear what you have to say. Yaron Brook, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thanks for having me on. And as usual, I'll disclaim all responsibility for anything the conservatives do because I disagree with you. I don't think Ayn Rand has influenced them at all.
Okay. All righty. Well,
I wish.
Yeah.
I wish.
Yeah. Well, in other words, they haven't gone anywhere near as far as you think they should have gone.
No, they go in a completely different direction, and on the few things they do right, they haven't gone anywhere as far as they should.
That's well, and in fact, speaking of the, you know, where they've gone, yesterday, I assume, and we haven't talked about this before, Yaron, and it's not the topic of the day, we'll get to in just a second, but I just want to toss this out. I'm assuming that you will join me in condemning Bush signing this law yesterday that now, for the first time since 1214, a sovereign in using what was historically English law has the power to identify a person, put them in prison, and without any judicial review whatsoever, and leave them there for the rest of their life without them ever even knowing that they have been charged with a crime.
Yeah, I would condemn that, particularly given, and I've been on the show before saying this, that the United States never declared war. I would love to see Congress declare war and declare what victory means, and if emergency measures are needed for the period in which we are engaged in war, so be it. What I don't like about the Patriots Act, what I don't like about the eavesdropping, and I don't like about this, is that these are indefinite, and we know that once you start with these things, they might apply initially only to terrorists, but soon enough they're being applied to business leaders, they're being applied to me and you, they're being applied to whoever the government views as a threat, and that is really scary for the future of freedom in this country.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, and oddly enough, in fact, it's now, was it Bill O'Reilly, as I recall? Ah, yeah, here he is.
So, all those clowns over at the Liberal Radio Network, we could incarcerate them immediately. Will you have that done, please? Send over the FBI and just put them in chains?
Yeah. Hmm. Well, it's not just you. I'm sure I'm on the list as well.
Yeah, from the lips of babes and idiots, as they say. Anyhow, what we were going to debate, as it were, today is New York's Board of Health has proposed a law to require all restaurants in the city to limit the content of trans fats in their foods. Now, trans fats, for our listeners who are not familiar, are normal fats that have been raised to over 770 degrees in temperature and had hydrogen bubbled through them. In other words, it's a created chemical, and that hydrogen binds up, fills up the open holes in the fat molecules to hydrogenate the fat and cause the fat to become a solid at room temperature, and makes them less likely to go rancid quickly. There's a whole lot of benefits in terms of making it more profitable. You can use them in boilers longer and things like that. And the problem is that trans fats cause cancer, they cause heart disease, they cause diabetes, and we know this. And you're suggesting that restaurateurs should be able to inflict this new chemical on people who are dining at their restaurants without informing them, and just because, hey, it's a free market.
Well, first of all, it's not new. Trans fats have been used for a long time.
Sure, Crisco goes back into the 50s.
Yeah, yeah, many of these trans fats, if you look at a lot of the power bars you eat, they're really everywhere in different amounts because they are needed, and there are very few alternatives. I mean, they're coming up with better stuff now, but they offer very few alternatives in terms of preserving these things. The power bars we eat would go bad very quickly if not for using this stuff. And I avoid them. I look at what's in the things, and if they're trans fats, I don't eat them. I try to take care of my health as much as I can.
So and do you not eat in restaurants?
Well, if I concluded that that was a threat, and I think that people know, then I wouldn't eat at restaurants. I mean, I don't think I have a right to eat at restaurants. You know, if certain restaurants do things that I don't like, my solution is not to get the government to pull out a gun and put the restaurateur in jail. My solution is not to eat at that restaurant. It is their right.
But what if they do
sell a legal product? Trans fats are a legal product.
But what if they do something you don't like and you don't know it?
Well, if you know, then it's up to me to do the research about it. Look, trans fats are a legal product. They're not something that has been banned. They're not cocaine. They're not heroin.
But they are poison.
Well, it's not clear that they're poison. I mean, they're bad for you, but so is sugar. I try to avoid sugar, for example, but yet when I walk into a restaurant, I think sugar is the main cause of diabetes and a lot of problems that people have in terms of health.
But sugar, at least,
for that.
Sugar is a nutrient.
Coca-Cola.
Trans fats are not nutrients.
Well, sugar is not a nutrient.
Sure it is. Your body burns sugar. That's,
and
you know,
trans fats get burned. They don't get burned as effectively, and they do create
trans
the potential
clog up
for
your
real
arteries.
They create potential for real heart disease. But so does cholesterol. So do a lot of things. It's up to the individual to be responsible for their own diet and their own health. And if they feel like a restaurant is serving them food that's not good for them, they shouldn't eat that.
Well, this sounds fine, Aaron Brook. If you live in a town of 50 people and you know the guy who runs the restaurant, and you can say, "Hey, what kind of fat are you using on this?" But the vast majority of us don't.
If this was poison, if this was literally poison, then it wouldn't be sold in restaurants, and we know that. The fact is that cyanide is not sold in restaurants, and many poisons. You know, all the poisons that are out there now.
Cyanide is not legal to
sell in a restaurant.
It's
not good for you, just like lots of other food is not good for you. It's your responsibility to monitor your health. Nobody has a right to walk into a restaurant and demand the list of nutrients. If people insist that they get a list of everything that's in their food, then fine. A demand will be created in the marketplace, and restaurants will start listing what's in their food.
Why don't we, the people, Yarnbrook, why don't we, the people, collectively have the right to say to those among us who are playing the game of business, who are doing business, if you're going to do business, if you're going to do the business of running a restaurant, there's certain conditions we're going to put on it. You're going to have to serve your food that's clean and pure. I'm assuming that you're not opposed to the government inspecting restaurants for purity?
Absolutely, I'm opposed to it.
You don't think that there should even be people going into restaurants to see if they've got cockroaches
not
in the back room?
It's not the government's job. If we want to create a private market to provide information about the cleanliness of a restaurant, I think that's a great idea. With rating systems and so on, I think it would be much more efficient and much more effective. It's not the government's job. I don't believe that we, the people, have a right to infringe on anybody's freedom. The reason we can't do it is because we value freedom in this country. Freedom means leaving people alone.
I thought we valued
their own decisions about what to eat, where to eat, when to eat it, and for business owners to be allowed to serve whatever food they want and to suffer the consequences. If people get sick, you know, they're gonna shut down that restaurant.
But the problem with your argument, Aaron, is that the remedy is always post facto. The remedy is always after the harm has happened. It's if you're not going to have inspectors inspecting restaurants, then after somebody dies from food poisoning, then you go in and you say, you can sue
but
them.
But your remedy is worse, because your remedy is to assume that everybody's guilty and fine them and cause them pain, even though they will never
I've not suggested
or anything. Absolutely, that's what inspectors are. Inspectors are a form of taxation, a form of fining, a form of coercion. You're basically
an inspection is an inspection. It's not a fine or a coercion.
All restaurateurs are guilty until proven innocent, and I'm assuming that all restaurateurs are innocent until they commit a crime. I don't have all men shackled because they're all potential rapists. I mean,
right, but
the amount of rape would drop in this country if men were weren't
rape is not a legitimate business, Aaron. You're comparing apples and oranges. Rape is not a legitimate business. You can't. That's not an argument you can make.
Well,
you're suggesting that when businesses do harm to people, that after the harm, there should be a remedy. And I'm suggesting that we should prevent the harm, particularly when you have, you know, like in New York City, where you've got a lot of people coming through all the time, and they have no way of knowing what restaurant is safe and what restaurant isn't, and they never will.
I'm saying that you don't have a right to violate an individual's right because of a potential he has to commit something that you find offensive.
Okay. AyonRand.org, the website for more information. Yaron Brook, the executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute. Yaron, always good talking with you.
Good talking to you.
Even though we often disagree. Thank you very much. Indeed.
Bye.
16 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartmann radio program. Hey, we've figured out how the Bush administration is going to steal the elections this fall. I've got the whole story. I'll tell you right after this break.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way, and God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise.
And welcome back. 21 minutes past the hour. The Tom Hartmann radio program, where the rapture is not an exit strategy. We're gonna come back to you. We have, you know, a few callers who want to talk about the issue that we were just talking with Yaron Brook about, which basically is, should we have laissez-faire capitalism, unregulated capitalism in the United States, or should we have regulated capitalism? Should we have rules for the game of business? And it's an important topic and one worth coming back to. There are two things on my plate, as it were, two things in front of us, however, that I want to share with you. The first, of course, is that yesterday, George W. Bush signed his so-called Detainee Act that has ended habeas corpus in the United States. Before 1215, before the year 1215, the King of England had the power to simply declare someone an enemy of the state and put them in prison and never have a trial, never be charged with a crime. Rot in their jail cell for the rest of their lives. And the jails of England were full of people who were in just those circumstances. The government of China has that power right now. In 1215, on a plane in Runnymede, the British lords, the aristocracy, the feudal lords, confronted King John near the River Thames and said, "You will sign this document, the Magna Carta. You will sign this, and you will give us this right. Article 38 of the Magna Carta. In the future, no official shall place a man on trial upon his own unsupported statement without producing credible witnesses to the truth of it. And Article 39 of the Magna Carta, no free man shall be seized and imprisoned, or stripped of his rights or possessions, or outlawed or exiled, or deprived of his standing in any other way, nor will we proceed with force against him, or send others to do so, except by the lawful judgment of his equals or by the law of the land." In other words, you can't just throw somebody in jail without due process of law. George Bush now has the power that was last held in 1214 by King John. He and Don Rumsfeld, the two men, are specified in this law, the Secretary of Defense and the President of the United States. George Bush and Don Rumsfeld exclusively can declare me or you, an enemy of the state, and put us in jail without ever charging us with a crime. And if they do decide to charge us with a crime, they can use evidence that was obtained by torture or hearsay. Somebody can say, "Well, I heard that he was an enemy of the state," and put us to death. And we have no recourse. We have no access to the American court system. That is what has happened. It is the end of habeas corpus in the United States, and it very well could be the beginning of the end of the United States. The arrival, finally, of fascism here in this country. That's number one. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that after the break. Number two, George W. Bush and Karl Rove, the Washington Post pointed out 3 or 4 days ago, curiously happy and confident about Republican prospects in the fall, saying they're not worried. Bush is fully expecting that he will have a Republican House and Republican Senate, even though all the polls are showing that the Democrats are going to win. How could this be? Well, an insider has posted over at the Daily Kos, and they've followed up, and they've actually done an analysis, and they've found the proof. They've found the smoking gun. This is how the Republicans are going to steal the elections. And I'm just going to be able to get into the start of it here before we have to take a break at the bottom of the hour, and then I'll get to the whole thing. We'll wrap it at the right after that, and then we'll get into your calls. This person who posts on Daily Kos as K Street Projector, he says, a friend in a position to be present at lunches of GOP insiders here in D.C. called me. They know of my ongoing efforts to make hackable voting end. My friend was present as a group of moderate GOP members with Ohio ties lamented how far the party had strayed. There was consensus at the table that there was no way they should retain control of the Republican Party in Ohio. The table conversation began with the assumption that the party was going to lose control of Ohio in this election. The moderates started planning how to take back control of the GOP from the extremists. Then one insider, probably an extremist, but certainly very close to Mr. Ken Mellman, abruptly stopped the conversation. He told the table it was impossible they would lose either house. They're not going to lose the House, they're not going to lose the Senate, and he also predicts that Ohio is going to be won by the GOP, by the Republicans, in a sweep. He informed the group that over the last year, in four critical states, the GOP needs to hold the GOP needs in order to hold the House and the Senate. They have conducted huge purges of the voter rolls that have just been completed. He did not say which four states, but he did say that Ohio was one of them. His claim was a new Diebold voter registry system has been installed over the last year. The last week of July and the first week of August, a test run was made of the system's ability to purge voters. And I'll give you the details on that when we come back from this break, because it's just going to pop your eyeballs and make smoke come out of your ears. And then they went back and they found out, well, did Blackwell actually do this purge in Ohio? And I'll show you the results of that, too. And what can we do about this? 27 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program.
You better listen, my brother, because if you do, you can hear there are voices still calling across the year. They'll cry across the ocean, and they'll cry across the land, and they will.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Yeah, none of us are free anymore. I'm sorry. With the laws of habeas corpus, we now live in a country where two men, the President of the United States and the Secretary of Defense, can declare any person an enemy of the state and imprison them for the rest of their lives or put them to death without any oversight from the legislature, legislative branch, or from the judicial branch. This is brought to you by the Republicans in the House of Representatives, the Republicans in the Senate, and a few cowardly turncoat Dems. By the way, our program brought to you by listener support. I refer to this as listener-supported radio. Our program brought to you by our sponsors, Sacred Grounds Coffee. If you support the program, support our sponsors. Sacred Grounds Coffee, great people. All fair trade, all organic, and incredibly good. I mean, they've got some coffees, man. I have not tasted coffee this good since I lived in Europe. SacredGroundsCoffee.com, their website, 800-425-2532. Their telephone number, 1-800-425-2532. And also Small Dog Electronics. Get the latest iPods now at 1-800-511-MAX, smalldog.com. And by the way, if you go to Sacred Grounds Coffee, if you call them, use the word fall, you'll get a discount. Or just plug the word fall into the coupon field when you're checking out, and you'll get a discount. So just a heads up on that. Now, back to what we were talking about here, this post over at the Daily Kos. This guy, see, he starts out saying, okay, he's got a friend who's a moderate Republican who's from Ohio, who's sitting around in Washington, D.C. with a bunch of other Republicans from Ohio who are lamenting the fact that they are going to be losing the state, basically. And this guy in the room, this guy who's sitting there with him, he says, no, you're not going to lose the state. There's nothing to worry about. We have reprogrammed the state. And three other states. There's four states that this has been done in. We don't know what the other three states are, but we do know of Ohio because this insider was specifically talking about this. And as K Street Projector posts over at the Daily Kos, the insider, his claim was that a new Diebold voter registry system had been installed over the last year. The last week of July and the first week of August, a, quote, test run, end quote, was made of the system's ability to purge ineligible voters. The purge generated names and test letters sent out to 1.2 million Ohio addresses with a focus on universities and apartments with high turnover. Now, generally, people renting are not the high end economically, and they are therefore more likely to vote Democratic. And universities are far more likely to be Democratic. Back to the post on Daily Kos. He claims they made the letters seem just functionary, but they actually have an action component to avoid being purged from the rolls. In other words, you have to respond to the letter if you don't want to get purged. But the letter doesn't seem like that. The insider warmed up and said that Blackwell was brilliant in how he did this. The letter goes on for a long time about changes in Ohio voting and security and suggests people who have concerns about their voting status could come by county offices and confirm their continued voting eligibility before Election Day. But you know, at the end of the letter, it's like, you have to let us know, did you actually get this? Do you actually live at this address? Are you actually a confirmed voter? Because if not, we're going to remove you from the voting rolls. Now, this insider says that since this was just a test, this 1.2 million letters that were sent out in Ohio, they didn't have to send it to everybody, all the registered voters in the state. They only sent it to a select group. In fact, what the insider said is, quote, I suspect Blackwell chose criteria very, very favorable for us, end quote. Further, the insider stated that Blackwell had only purged the list after a full 60 days was given for people to respond, which means even if a voter was on the termination list, they still could have voted in the primary. So people in Ohio, Democrats in Ohio, people who live in areas that are heavily Democratic or who are registered as Democrats, Blackwell sends them out this 2-3-4-page letter that kind of in small print at the end says, by the way, if you don't let us know that you're still at this address, we're going to take you off the voter rolls. They get this letter before the primary. They don't read it all the way to the end because it looks like it's just legal mumbo jumbo. It looks like it's just an official, you know, hey, we're doing a good job for you kind of letter. 1.2 million voters in Ohio. They go in to vote in the primary, and they have no problem because the purge hasn't happened yet. Then last week, the purge runs. The insider told the table that they believe the purge has probably caught up hundreds of thousands of students, hundreds of thousands. Students, activists, and wanderers with no real job, end quote. So when these people show up to vote, they're going to be told, well, we don't have any record of you being on the voting rolls, so you have to do a provisional ballot. And they'll vote on a provisional ballot thinking that that ballot will be counted. Oh, gee, at least I've got a paper trail. I'm filling out a provisional ballot, right? But when they count the provisional ballots, they open it up and they say, this person's name isn't on the voting rolls, and they throw it away. He says, I'm going to assume Mr. Blackwell's test purge went to no one registered Republican. His criteria is something I'm trying to get a copy of now. So then they said, let's find out if this actually happened. So he got a couple of people in two counties to go into the voter registration offices and just see what's going on. Just, you know, go in for 2 hours, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. in Lorain County, Ohio, and from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., 1 hour in Wayne County, Ohio. Just go in and check it out. Here's what he wrote back. Here's what he posted over at the Daily Kos. At Lorain County, my friend arrived to find a line of over 15 people, many of them who had come back for a second time, all of them Democrats, who had arrived to vote early and been told that driver's license information, or in one case, home ownership information, had not matched the address provided for voter registration. In other words, they've been purged. In one case, a college student had been purged because he changed dorms on campus. In another case, a local blue-collar worker had been purged because his voter registration number had only his building address, but his driver's license included an apartment number. This tiny difference in information led to his purging. While everyone present, he says, seemed to have enough information to allow the records to be updated, my friend told me it was being done one by one, and only one clerk was there and was taking a very long time, about 5 minutes per person, to resolve. Everyone in line confirmed that several voters had given up in frustration and left. In Wayne County, Ohio, the sample is smaller. He was there for an hour instead of 2 hours. But during the 1 hour, he stated 18 people arrived for absentee ballots or to vote early. Wayne County had 3 Diebold TSX touchscreens set up for early voters. Of those who arrived, 2 of them had been provisionally purged. The first was, again, a student from the local college. She was sent away and told to bring back some ID beyond her student ID to prove she was a resident at the college. She was wearing a shared brown button. The second was a local guy who owns 2 houses on the same block. His driver's license is in one house where he keeps his cars, but his voter registration is in another house where he actually sleeps 4 houses away. This one got resolved with a series of steps that included filling out 2 forms and the clerk having to enter the corrected information into 2 separate computers. As an added bonus, the poster over at Daily Kos writes, my friend listened in and witnessed 8 retired ladies getting instructions on how to be poll workers on the new TSX Diebold machines. The instructor was a local elections board member. She was asked many questions by many of the retirees, and her answer to almost all of them was, I don't know how it works. I just know how we're supposed to use it. Get ready, Ohio, and 3 other states. Now we know why George W. Bush and Karl Rove are sitting around smiling, going, Republicans aren't going to lose. They have gone in and systematically purged the Democrats in 4 states, in 4 critical states. And if they could just hang on to those, this is how they did it in 2004. This is how they did it in 2002, and this is how they did it in 2000. You pick a half a dozen states, you pick a handful of states where your battlegrounds are going to be, and you rig the vote in those states. And this is, you know, rigging the vote big time. I mean, this is absolutely brilliant. I agree with the Republican insider who said that what Ken Blackwell has done is brilliant. It's brilliant. It's brilliant, like evil genius. Okay, we've got this system for purging voters. If any little minute bit of information doesn't match up, or if people don't respond to a letter we send them within 60 days, then boom, they can't vote. But instead of sending this to everybody in the state, let's just send this to 1.2 million people who happen to live in areas that are more than 80 or 90% Democratic in the way that they vote. Universities, low-income areas, areas that, you know, tend to be more progressive, big cities. And if you can blow 1.2 million people off the voting rolls in Ohio, you don't have to worry about Ohio. Mike DeWine is going to be fine. The House is going to stay Republican. Ken Blackwell gets elected. You don't have to worry. And Bush doesn't have to face impeachment. I'll tell you after the break what you can do about this. 45 minutes past the hour is the Tom Hartman radio program.
October surprise. I'm keeping my eyes peeled for you. What's the good word, my friend? What rule will Republicans bend? October surprise. Announce a truce or maybe start a new war. You sure can't say they haven't done it before. Every time they get the chance.
Indeed, welcome back. 9.5 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. By the way, just a quick heads up. Friday, October 27th, it's a week from this Friday, the University of San Francisco War Memorial Gymnasium, the Great Debate number 2, 4 liberals, 4 conservatives, the Honorable Willie Brown moderating. I'll be there along with Stephanie Miller, Rachel Maddow, and local progressive comedian Johnny Steele, going up against Jack Armstrong, Joe Getty, Jerry Doyle, and Rusty Humphreys. Tickets are free if you live in the San Francisco area, actually if you live anywhere in the United States. You can get a ticket to San Francisco. They're not that expensive, right? QuakeRadio.com, the website, QuakeRadio.com. So what do we do about this? What do we do about this? Well, first of all, if you know anybody in Ohio, call them. Ohio right now is open for early voting. So have them go to the polls, go to their local county office and say, I'm here to vote, and see if they've been purged. Number one. Number two, get this story out. Spread it far and wide. Start contacting all of your media. Contact your local newspaper. Contact your local radio stations, your local television stations. Ask them if they are covering the story of the purge of Democratic voters that is going on in four states right now. Blog it. Post it everywhere. You can go over to the Daily Kos and get the story. If you can't find it easily or quickly at the Daily Kos, you go over to TomHartmann.com, go to our message boards. We'll make sure that it's up there shortly. I'm sure Sue or one of the folks in our chat room has probably already put it up there. If they haven't, I'm sure that they will. And if they don't, I will. We'll get that thing on there. And just, you know, click a link to it so you can read this article. That the elections are going to be stolen by the purging of Democratic voters. That's the strategy that that Rove and Bush and Blackwell are doing. They are definitely doing it in Ohio. And according to inside sources, they're doing it in three other critical states right now. And we don't know what those three states are. But if you live in a heavily Democratic area, or if you are registered as a Democrat, or probably even if you're registered as an independent, if you're registered as anything other than a Republican, no matter what state you live in, call or visit your county registrar's office, the place where you would vote or where your voter registration is held, or the Secretary of State's office, and confirm that you actually are legal to vote, and find out whether or not there's a purge going on. And if there is a purge going on in your state, find out when and where and how. We need to find out what the other three states are. I mean, this is incredible. Ray in Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Ray.
Hello. Am I on?
You are on the air. Yes, sir.
Okay. In Cleveland, Ohio, there's one newspaper, The Plain Dealer.
Mm-hmm.
Some time ago, they started sending out a weekly, separate division started sending out a weekly junk mail type thing with supermarket ads and all.
Yeah.
I just so happened to have canceled mine. And the phone said 6 weeks it'll stop. Well, it stopped after 2 weeks. So I didn't receive it for about a month or more. All of a sudden, I received it out of the blue, and, I had no use for it. I could have thrown it away. But I opened it. Inside was a first-class pamphlet that looked just like an advertisement from some insurance company, and it was from the Board of Elections. It was a first-class letter in that ad. And it stated new rules for registration, and you'd have to show up at the voting booths with a full, set of IDs, and social
right.
security numbers.
So this was that letter that went out to people saying, if you don't respond to this letter, you're no longer a registered voter.
Yeah, well, I didn't even read to that part of it, and I didn't even open that. I was so enraged that it was hidden in there, I didn't even read that. But two or 3 weeks later, I did receive my regular voter registration card, but I am going to definitely look into it.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking it's more like a death by a thousand cuts where they can shave off 5% of voters here, 5% of voters there.
That's what they're doing. That's absolutely what they're doing. I mean, this gets back to that Paul Weyrich, the Republican strategist, said it. He was talking to a church full of a bunch of Republican leaders meeting in a church about 10 years ago. And, I mean, this is the godfather, Republican politics, the guy who claims credit for electing Ronald Reagan. And he just laid it right out.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
And that's what they're doing right now. They're driving down the voting populace. So, Ray, I hope you will tell everybody you know in Ohio what's going on.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Nice to talk to you, Bob.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it.
Okay, goodbye.
Amazing. Hank in Dora, Michigan. Hank, we got about 20 seconds left. What's up?
Sure.
if this is true, then the Democrats need to get out there and start putting this across the airwaves.
Yep.
And if actually this actually does happen, I think that Nancy Pelosi or John Conyers should already start threatening legal action against anybody that is involved with this ordeal.
I agree. We all need to be raising hell right now. And,
yep.
And this is just absolutely mind-boggling. And we know that this is what they did in Florida before the 2000 election. I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise. This is exactly what Jeb Bush did before the 2000 election. It's what Blackwell did before the 2004 election. He blew about 300,000 people off the rolls then. Now it looks like he's fixing to blow 1.2 million off. Hank, thanks a lot for the call. Yeah, it's time to get angry. It's time to get outspoken. It's time to out these guys for preparing to steal another election. And maybe this time, since we still have 20-some-odd days, 23 days, I think, to go, we can stop it before it happens. Maybe. At least you can make sure that you're registered to vote. 57 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. We'll be back with Jeffrey Feldman after this and your calls.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information. Rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back for your minimum daily adult requirement of sanity. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, 6 minutes past the hour. Jeffrey Feldman with us, the editor-in-chief over at frameshopisopen.com. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
I'm concerned. Yeah. We have voter purges happening in four states right now. We've confirmed Ohio, apparently, and the Republicans fixing to steal an election. In the midst of this, the president yesterday assumed dictatorial powers that are unprecedented in the history of English common law and U.S. law going back to 1215. And in fact, you opened this. Frameshopisopen.com, Back to the Future is your new frame.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that Bush did yesterday when he signed this declaration of despotism was that he talked about the importance of this particular legislation as he saw it from the perspective of the future. This remarkable turn of phrase where he basically says, look, we have to think about what this particular bill looks like from the history of 50 years now, from now. And he's doing this. It's really just a way of restating.
From the history of the future.
The history of the future.
Hallucinate that one.
Hallucinate that one, exactly. I mean, it's essentially a restatement of that old saying, the ends justifies the means. But
yeah.
It's this complicated way that the president always wants the American public to focus on what's up the road, what's down the road when things are going bad in the present. I call this the path metaphor. He does this when things get really bad in Iraq. Which is most of the time. But he says to the public, look, we need to think about not what's happening now, but what's happening, down the road several years from now, up ahead, in order to lull people into thinking that what's happening right this second isn't really important.
Yeah. And you call this a declaration of despotism?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a total collapse, really, of incredible amount of power into the hands of one person. We're left in a situation where just about anybody can be declared an enemy combatant, this very a vague phrase that's been tucked inside this particular law, which basically says that the president can convene a new body, some type of board, which is entirely under his control, that can define anybody. I mean, they use this word alien to attach to it. But really, it doesn't have to be an alien. It can be anybody in this country who can be defined as an enemy combatant. And then from there, it's a knock on the door in the middle of the night. And whatever the president wants to do, it can be thrown away forever.
Vanished.
That's it.
And you're vanished.
This gradual slip into a situation where we're entirely dependent on the benevolence of the president.
Right. First they came for the terrorists. Then they came for what? The rabble-rousers? I mean, what's it going to be? And finally they came for me.
It's gradualism, and meanwhile, the country is really having this important conversation about Wesley Snipes' tax returns instead of focusing on this really startling development.
And whether or not Donna legitimately adopted a baby, Madonna. I mean, it's yesterday, Keith Olbermann talking with Jonathan Turley. They were talking about how America seems to be yawning through this. I mean, I am just astounded. I've written three pieces for Common Dreams about this. We've done entire shows on this several times. The fact that we have now crossed the threshold. We have now crossed the threshold into absolute despotism. It is not being used, but the power, or at least that we know of. I mean, it's entirely possible that Bush signed the bill yesterday, and yesterday afternoon, all around the country, here, there, and other places, thousands of people got rounded up, and they have simply vanished.
Yeah, and what we don't really are able to see is, because this is kept below the radar, are, you know, exactly what Bush is creating at the moment. Is he creating some type of body, some type of group of police force that is designed specifically to enforce this new power of his? We may never know, because these are the type of powers that he has now are kept entirely out of our viewpoint.
Well, this was, you know, what Hitler did when he rose to power was one of the first things he did was he consolidated all the police agencies of Germany, all the various different agencies that had regulatory or police power, the Border Patrol, their equivalent of the FBI, their spy agencies, their equivalent of the CIA and NSA, the agency that protected the president, the SS, that protected the Führer, the Prime Minister, and the senior officials, consolidated them all into one giant body, which was referred to as the Sicherheitsstumpf or something like that. And my German is lousy enough, I can't pronounce the whole thing, but it's one of these, you know, polysyllabic, basically the Office of Security for the Homeland. And that's what Bush did, you know, 2 years ago, is he created the Department of Homeland Security, and he consolidated all of these agencies that had previously been disparate and put them under the control of one guy who is very loyal to him. He's Death Squad John. He's been a good Republican operative, and he shows up in Honduras, and all of a sudden there's death squads in Central America. He shows up in Iraq, and a week later we start finding, you know, bodies with death squads operating in Iraq. And I'm just wondering, when is it going to come to America? Could it be that the exposure of the election fraud that is happening right now as we speak, as in four states, Republican secretaries of state are selectively purging voters in four states right now, according to this report on the Daily Kos. Could that be the spark that will produce enough citizen outrage that will cause people to take to the streets or whatever, however they do it, that will cause Bush to say, okay, now I'm going to use the powers that I have?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, and it raises a very important point that this bill that gives Bush all power is really about elections from the perspective of the White House. They're really pulling out all the stops. If you listen to what they say, listen to what Bush says when he signs this bill, he's setting himself up to talk in critical terms about how the Democrats voted on this bill, not only giving himself the ability to arrest any American just on his own whims, but setting in motion a particular script that's going to be unfolded for the next few weeks, and I think also past the elections coming up next month, so that this theme, this idea that Democrats are not voting to protect Americans because they don't stand up and clap when the president takes these powers, this is going to be used in an attempt by the Republicans to weaken all Democratic candidates heading into 2008.
Well, and in fact, they used this to get a bunch of virtually all of these senators had at various times been the DLC senator of the month. They're mostly Democratic Leadership Council senators, the Republican light in the Democratic Party. Most of the Democrats who voted for this thing were in the DLC. But the story that they were all telling themselves, and that they're consultants, and you have to wonder, are these consultants, you know, Quislings? Are they traitors in our midst? These consultants were telling them, if you don't vote for this bill, then they're going to come after you the way that they came after Max Cleland in Georgia when he wouldn't vote to create the Department of Homeland Security and call you a traitor.
Yeah, they're going to come after them anyway.
Gee whiz. What a surprise.
If they haven't figured that out yet, then they're in real trouble.
Well, apparently they haven't. I mean, there's this bizarre strategy that the Democratic Leadership Council Democrats and the Bob Schrum, Donna Brazile, old line, take it slow. I mean, you know, even yesterday on Huffington Post, Arianna Huffington blogging about how in the Lieberman-Lamont race, Ned Lamont is going to the middle. He's going to the center, and as a result, he's probably going to lose.
Yeah, I am concerned about that Lamont race, although a lot of activists are pouring into Connecticut right now in order to really get out the vote. But this is what happens with Democratic candidates. There is this nagging fear that they're going to be branded as weak on security, and that attack still holds. And that's why the White House and Republican leadership are going to push it here. Ken Mellman really going after this, really proud of himself for this bill that gives the president despotic power. He was standing up and saying this was a victory for the Republican Party because it was going to score political points in the polls.
Right, but the American people are not buying it. It's just these few Democrats who are buying it. I mean, it's just incredible.
Well, let's hope. I mean, going into next week with these purges, I think it's really important for Democrats and progressives and activists to talk about how this affects people, what's going on the ground with these voter purges, not just talk about lists and numbers, but really focus on the impact of ordinary people.
The frame for this week has to be, it seems, we're talking with Jeffrey Feldman, frameshopisopen.com. The frame for this week has to be, the fix is in. It's called voter purge.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this going in for the next few weeks, really getting people thinking about the elections that are coming up and the desperation on the ground with the Republicans, clearing lists on the one hand, but also slamming the door in the face of people who are lining up to vote, lining up to exercise real power to bring about change so that there's some accountability in the Congress.
Yeah, to do what we as citizens are called to do, to participate in our democracy. No, the Republicans don't want us participating. No, not at all. They don't want us participating in our democracy because there's no way that they can hold on to their power and there's no way they can advance their agenda against the will of the people of the United States unless they can disenfranchise people from voting.
Yeah. We're so far ahead in Ohio. I mean, Democrats are really doing great in Ohio. A lot of good campaigns. And if that turns and goes towards Republicans, let me tell you, people should be flooding into the streets at that point.
Indeed. Indeed. Absolutely. Frameshopisopen.com, the website. Jeffrey Feldman. Jeffrey, thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Tom.
Hey, it's time now for our progressive pop quiz here on the Tom Hartman program. Our question for the day, how is the GOP going to steal the 2006 elections? Or at least they think they are. The sixth caller with the correct answer at 1-866-440-8466 gets an autographed copy of my new book, Screwed! The answer coming up after the break, 16 minutes past the hour.
Now we see everything that's going wrong with the world and those who lead it. We just feel like we don't have the means to rise above and feed it. So we keep waiting on the world to change. We keep on.
No, you can't wait any longer. Time to get up there, get out there and get active. We have a winner, by the way, in our progressive pop quiz. Our question, how is the GOP going to rig the 06 elections? And congratulations to Jamie Jagel from Mount Vernon, Washington. Jamie had the right answer. They're going to purge the voting rolls in a few selected states and make sure that their purge is done in ways that Democrats don't have an opportunity to vote. And you're going to show up, and they're going to say, well, we don't find your name on the list, but here's a provisional ballot. That'll make you happy. And you can think that you're voting, and just fill it out and leave it behind, and we'll throw it away later. I mean, this is absolutely mind-boggling. This is absolutely mind-boggling. Not another way to say it. Now, at the same time that they're doing this, to hang on to power, I mean, the parallels are increasing between the United States and Nazi Germany. Hitler came to power illegitimately and then began to consolidate power, and pretty soon there were no other parties other than the Nazi Party. And if these guys have their way, pretty soon, for all practical purposes, there will be no other party other than the Republican Party. And there might be a few, you know, the Democratic wing of the Republican Party, known as the DLC. Meanwhile, now that Bush has claimed dictatorial powers, the power to absolutely come down on anyone. I mean, this law that Bush signed yesterday says that he and Don Rumsfeld alone, these two men, the president and the secretary of defense, have the power to declare any person in the United States or outside of the United States, including you, to declare any of us as essentially enemies of the state, and therefore we do not have access to due process. We do not have access to the rule of law. We our constitutional rights gone. Just gone. I mean, there is just no other way to say it. This is... I find myself speechless very rarely, but I'm damn close to it. This from the Center for Constitutional Rights. You can, Michael Ratner's organization, ccr-ny.org is their website. They have an MP3, or not an MP3, they have a PDF file over there that summarizes the Military Commissions Act, the law that Bush signed yesterday. This from a group of constitutional lawyers. This is not me speaking. This is a group of constitutional lawyers. The Military Commissions Act, questions and answers. The new powers, what new powers does the Military Commissions Act give to the president? Answer. It authorizes the president to detain anyone, including U.S. citizens, without charge by designating them enemy combatants or unlawful enemy combatants. It authorizes the president to determine what constitutes torture. And I would add implicitly to then use that against anyone that they decide is a combatant. It authorizes the use of evidence obtained by coercion. It authorizes the use of hearsay evidence. It authorizes retroactive immunity for U.S. military and intelligence officials for abuses that occurred at sites such as Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo, Bagram, and secret CIA facilities all around the world. Retroactive immunity. Yes, you broke the law back then, but it's not the law anymore, so we're going to say that you didn't break the law. And among the techniques that can be used to obtain information from people... Now, this is me speaking right now. Among the techniques that can be used to obtain information from people, this coercion and torture, are included rape and sexual assault. And here's what the lawyers say about it from the Center for Constitutional Rights. The definitions of rape and sexual assault are narrower than under international law and have higher thresholds for proof. How does this violate the law, this Military Commissions Act? It violates the suspension clause of the Constitution. Now, what they're talking about there, the suspension clause, the article, as I recall, Article 9, Section 1 of the Constitution, says that the right of habeas corpus shall only be suspended by the president upon an act of Congress during time of invasion or insurrection. If the country is invaded or if there is a popular uprising. Well, there might be a popular uprising coming in Ohio. Who knows? It violates the Sixth Amendment by allowing classified evidence when the accused can only see in summary. In other words, you can't see what you're charged with. It violates the Fourth Amendment by allowing evidence obtained by coercion without a warrant, without probable cause. And it violates the Geneva Conventions by watering down humanitarian law protections of Common Article 3 and effectively granting a retroactive amnesty to U.S. officials who have tortured, and I would add, and killed, detainees. 27 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Program. The True People's Radio. And welcome back to the Democracy Zone, the Tom Hartman Radio Program, 34 minutes past the hour. Well, Bush has passed the law. He's taken dictatorial powers, and so now...
all those clowns over at the liberal radio network, we could incarcerate them immediately. Will you have that done, please? Send over the FBI and just put them in chains?
Thank you, Mr. O'Reilly. Yes. Now it can be done. Alex, Lauren... You clowns ready? David, here we go. Okay, here's Alex and Lauren are running our board, answering our phones at Air America, and David here in the studio with me are producing the program. Here's what happens to us clowns. If George Bush decides to declare that we are either enemy combatants, or that we are unlawful enemy combatants, or that we have provided material support, a phrase that he gets to determine the meaning of. It could mean, if he decides, giving a smile to an unlawful enemy combatant. Okay? Here's what you can expect. You will, assuming that you actually get an opportunity to have legal process, you could simply be thrown in jail for the rest of your life. But if they want to go beyond that, and you could be tortured. But if they want to go beyond that, and rape could be part of the torture. But if they want to go beyond that and actually execute you, then they have to have some sort of legal process. So they bring you before what's called a combatant status review tribunal. Who appoints the people on the tribunal? George Bush and Don Rumsfeld. Who has a say over who's on the tribunal, whether or not they're suited to serve on the tribunal? George Bush and Don Rumsfeld. Nobody else. Who can get somebody kicked off the tribunal? Nobody. Other than George Bush and Don Rumsfeld. And when you are before the Combat Status Review Tribunal, a CSRT, you are, and now I'm quoting again from the Center for Constitutional Rights fact sheet you can find over at their website, ccr-ny.org. You are denied access to counsel, denied the right to see the evidence against you, denied the right to confront or even know the identity of your accuser, denied the right to call witnesses on your behalf, denied the right to present evidence, denied the right to know how Don Rumsfeld, the military, collected evidence, and you can even be denied an impartial tribunal because the CSRT must presume that evidence against a detainee is genuine and accurate. In other words, they're assuming that all the evidence presented against you is accurate. You don't even have the ability to examine or challenge that evidence. And they have to operate on the assumption that that evidence is accurate. Where do they get that evidence from? George Bush and Don Rumsfeld. Question: could American citizens be held under these circumstances? Answer: yes. The MCA includes language that states that persons who materially support hostilities against the U.S. can be labeled and held as unlawful enemy combatants. That might include, for instance, someone who donates money to a charity that turns out to have some connection to the Taliban or Al-Qaeda, or even the organizer of an anti-war rally without regard to actual hostilities. Now, in the meantime, we have this report from the American Friends Service Committee, also known as the Quakers. Documents released today by the American Civil Liberties Union confirm that the Department of Defense, Don Rumsfeld, the guy who can designate you an enemy combatant and throw you in prison and throw the key away, has been spying on peaceful protesters. The documents reveal the American Friends Service Committee, AFSC, a Quaker organization committed to the principles of nonviolence, came under the Pentagon surveillance on several occasions last year for organizing or supporting peaceful protest activity. Greg Coleridge, an AFSC community organizer based in Akron, Ohio, I'll bet he's lost his right to vote, said, quote, if the government has avowed pacifists under surveillance, then no one is safe. Okay, so now we know the sequence. First they came for the terrorists. And I was not a terrorist, so I did not speak up. Then they came for the Quakers. And I was not a Quaker, so I did not speak up. We need to be clear, Coleridge says. The Pentagon is snooping on individuals and groups that have no history of organizing or even calling for violence against the government. If people in groups like this can be monitored, then we need to ask, where does it end? I'll tell you where it ends. I walked through Dachau. Keith Harvey, the director of the FSC in New England, he says, imagine what could happen if we give the government unrestrained authority to spy on anyone without answering to anyone. Well, Keith, we just did. We just did. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. David in Seattle, Washington. Hey, David.
Oh, hey, Tom. Great show. So Bush and Rumsfeld are interpreting their law, which doesn't necessarily make it legal, right?
It is legal. It is the law of the land right now.
I know, but there's a lot of laws that if the common citizen is to interpret it, you know, on its face, you know, could be illegal, such as this law and plus Bush is signing statements too. So what about
this law is legal because it is the law of the land. The Supreme Court may declare it illegal and at that time it will become illegal. But right now, if it has been passed by Congress and signed by the president, by definition,
right,
it is legal.
So basically Bush and the executive branch are pushing it and abusing their power to see how far they could go.
So far they have done it with about 14, as far as we can tell, about 14,000 people who are in detention facilities from Guantanamo to Poland.
So what about the collective citizens' arrest, you know, towards Rumsfeld and Bush for being a terrorist against the United States?
Yeah. You know, they're,
you know what I mean?
They're not breaking the law right now, David. The law just retroactively forgave them. They were just pardoned. This law pardons them for everything that they did with regard to the so-called war on terror.
Yeah, so-called.
This is the same thing as when Jerry Ford pardoned Richard Nixon on the way out the door. You can't go after them now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suggest...
And they can decide that because of what you say on the radio or what I say on the radio, that we are materially supporting the terrorists and they can disappear us.
Well, you know, they're desperate because it's not going to work. They are so desperate to hold on to this illusion of power that they think that they have. You know,
it's not an illusion. They have real power. They've got 15,000 people in prison right now. They've killed at least 35 of them that we know of in the process of torturing them.
I know. And it's
and
awful.
It could be you or me next. And this is not an exaggeration. And there are right-wingers out there who are just gleeful. I mean, here's Bill O'Reilly.
So, all those clowns over at the liberal radio network, we could incarcerate them immediately. Will you have that done, please? Send over the FBI and just put them in chains?
That's the mentality.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mentality on the other side. David, I got to move along. But
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for the call. Richard in Kirkland, Washington. Hey, Richard.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Great show. I watched the C-SPAN bill being debated that we're talking about today a couple of weeks ago. It was a dark day for me. I could barely speak.
Yeah.
Question two, why did not any Democrats filibuster this bill, thinking maybe that the Supreme Court will strike it down again? And number two question, why did Bush take so long to sign it until today? Kind of curious about that.
Yeah, I don't know why he took so long to sign it, frankly. I just don't know the answer to that question. I'm sure that there was some reason, but
I guess everything he does is gives me the jitters.
Yeah, things are well scripted there in the White House. With regard to the Democrats, the DLC Democrats, the Rahm Emanuel Democrats, the Republican light part of the Democratic Party, has been arguing to all the other Democrats for at least 5-6 years now that to challenge Bush on things like this, the war in Iraq, the initial invasion of Iraq, the creation of the Department of Homeland Security, et cetera, is to make yourself vulnerable to the charge that you're weak on security, on defense. And so when they polled the Democratic Party, when the Democratic caucus got together before the Senate vote, and they said, okay, we need 40 votes to sustain a filibuster. If we don't have 40 votes, then it would be stupid to even start a filibuster because one senator is just going to go down in flames.
They
only had 34 votes.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's you had 34 Democrats who voted against this and 12 or 13, whatever it was, that voted in favor of it. And
tell you, my feeling was that John Kerry or even Hillary could hands down win in 08 if they just started a filibuster, you know. to take a stand. My goodness, it's the Alien and Seditions Act all over again.
Well, they cut a deal with the Republicans. They said once they knew that they couldn't filibuster it, they said, listen, we won't filibuster it if you'll allow us to try to amend it five times. And the Republicans said, okay, fine.
I saw that. And they
tried to. And so, that was at least something that they thought they could get. They didn't win any of it, but
what's the chance with the Supreme Court striking it down again? Is it good or is it just fair? I'd say it's just fair.
It's up to Justice Kennedy. He's the swing vote, and if they can replace one more member of the Supreme Court, we probably have a dictator running this country. Richard, I got to run. Thanks for the call. 45 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you.
I want the truth to set me free. I wish the flowers would leave with the voice so strong it could knock me to my knees. Hold on, world, 'cause you don't know what's coming.
Welcome back to Tom Hartman Radio Program, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison, not some right-wing think tank. Announcing, by the way, the October surprise contest on the Tom Hartman Program message blogs. The first person to post the correct answer to the question, what's the Bush administration's October surprise, gets an autographed copy of my book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It. The day after the election, we'll be putting up a poll so members can vote on the winner, and four runners-up each will receive an autographed copy of Screwed. The winner will be announced November 13th. It's at TomHartman.com if you want to check it out. Or TomHartman.org will get you directly to the message boards. Ellen Ratner with us with the Talk Radio News Service in Washington, D.C. Ellen, welcome.
Well, thank you very much. I like to update you on my friend's race. Alan Simon is up again in Arizona 1, Rick Renzi's district, 3 points. And the word around town when I talk to Democrats, why aren't they supporting her, is, well, you know, she put in her own money, so she doesn't need our money. Yeah. I mean, I think I said that to
But
you.
She does need our money, and her website is?
EllenSimonForCongress.com, I believe.
I think it's just Simon for Congress, isn't it, .com?
I'm not sure, but okay. Either one, just put in Ellen Simon in your search engine. And
yeah, you can Google
up.
It. Ellen, S-I-M-O-N, just like Paul Simon, only Ellen, E-L-L-E-N.
You got it.
Okay.
Couple really interesting things here, which is that today, John Boehner, he got on a talk show. He got on the Brian and the Judge show on Fox News Radio and said he wants Rahm Emanuel from the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee to talk about what he knows about the Foley resignation. Now, what's so amazing is this is a Republican scandal. It is totally Rahm Emanuel had absolutely nothing to do with the fact that of the Foley.
Right. This is a swift boat attack.
And all they're doing is they're trying to intimate something else.
Right. It's a swift boat attack. This is really simple. Ellen, do you know about the voter purge that just happened in Ohio? Have you learned about this yet?
No, I've been following Ohio very carefully. What's Mr. Blackwell up to now?
Well, this just broke over at the Daily Kos like an hour and a half ago. And there is a blogger over there, K Street Projector, who is inside with some of the moderate Republican members of Ohio's congressional delegation. And they were just briefed by a representative of Mr. Rove that Mr. Blackwell has back in June, Diebold installed a merge purge system to purge the voter rolls so that they could clean up the voter rolls. And so, you know, for example, if your address is 123 Main Street, apartment 12, but your driver's license says 123 Main Street, but you registered as apartment 12. Or you have registered as apartment TWE.
Any discrepancy, in other words.
Yeah, if there's any discrepancy at all, it'll blow you off. Or if you get a letter and you fail to respond to the letter within 60 days, they assume that you're not there and they take you off the rolls. Blackwell then sent 1.2 million test letters. He didn't send it to everybody in Ohio, just a test. They were just going to test the system. 1.2 million test letters out. And with a 60-day period on them, so if you didn't respond to the letter within 60 days, you lost your voter registration. That test, that 60-day period, spanned the primary. So people could, apparently it only went out to Democrats. And so Democrats could show up at the primaries and they could vote. They had no problem. And the letter was like this 4-page letter filled with legalese. And at the very end, it said, "Oh, by the way, if you don't reply to this, you know, within 60 days, your voter registration will be pulled." And so now, when this guy heard about this, he sent people to Lorain County, Ohio, and to
Cuyahoga, Cleveland is where
to Wayne County and Lorain County.
Okay, Lorain is right near Cleveland.
Right, and what they found was in these two counties, well, here, at Lorain County, my friend arrived to find a line of over 15 people, many of whom had come back for a second time, all of them Democrats who had arrived to vote, and all had been told that their driver's license information, or in one case, home ownership information, did not match the address provided for voter registration, and they'd been purged. It looks like 1.2 million Democrats were just purged off the list in Ohio. This guy came in and he sat. These Republicans were sitting around going, "Oh, this is terrible."
Ben Blackwell is evil incarnate.
Well, this guy said this is being done in 4 states, and we know that Ohio is one of the states. We don't know what the other 3 states are, but this guy said this insider very close to Ken Mellman said the Republicans are not going to lose the House, they're not going to lose the Senate. Don't worry, everything's under control. And this is how they're going to do it. They're doing these purges. And people are going to show up, and they're going to be told, "Oh, well, we can't find your name on the list, but here's a provisional ballot. Just do this." And so people will actually vote, thinking that they're voting. They'll do a provisional ballot. And then, you know, after they leave, that provisional ballot will be thrown away. They will continue to think that they voted. They won't have any idea, and their vote will never be counted.
Well, I think that I have to say this for the Democrats of Ohio, that they're very convinced of Mr. Blackwell's tricks, and they're very aware of that, and they will be at every polling booth on election day.
It'll be too late. I mean, they need to be raising hell right now. They need to be raising hell right now. I mean, Ken Blackwell, apparently, this was just finished last week. I mean,
no, I understand. But what I'm saying is that with provisional ballots, that can be challenged in court. And the fact.
Yeah, but how many people do that? And that's after the election is already called and, you know, Bush is back in office kind of thing. You know, the Republicans are back in office.
Well, it is true. The Secretary of State of that state has to certify the election.
Right.
I wouldn't trust Blackwell as far as I could throw.
Yeah, neither would I. And plus, this is happening in 3 other states, and we don't know what the states are. So if you can help us find out what the states are, it'd be much appreciated.
We'll try and take a look. Somebody ought to sue the
Diebold folks. I agree. Ellen Ratter, talkradionews.com. Ellen, thank you for being with us today. 57 minutes past the hour is the Tom Hartman radio program, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison, and not the fascists now in power. Now that America has taken that leap. Oh, man. More after the news at the top of the hour. 57 minutes later.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information. Rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to the radio support group of, by, and for we the people of the United States of America. For those of you just tuning in, we started with this in the first hour of the program. It's worth revisiting. This posted just a few hours ago on Daily Kos by K Street Projector. A friend, he writes, in a position to be present at lunches of GOP insiders here in D.C., called me on Thursday. They know of my ongoing efforts to end hackable voting. Now, as I'm sharing this with you, it may sound like, oh, gee, it's another conspiracy nut, you know, posting on a blog. But no, actually, they checked this thing out. They sent folks into 2 different precincts in Ohio, and sure enough, it's happening. And in fact, we've had callers to this program now from Ohio saying, yep, I got one of those letters. So as you're listening to this, understand this is not the lunatic fringe. It's not paranoia. It's not something that somebody's speculating about. This is a done deal. writes, my friend was present as a group of moderate GOP members with Ohio ties, this is in Washington, D.C., lamented how far the party had strayed. There was consensus at the table. There was no way they should retain control. In other words, you've got moderate Republicans who are saying, we have screwed up so badly, we shouldn't retain control. The table conversation began with the assumption that the party was going to lose control in this election. The moderates started planning how to take back control of the GOP from the extremists. Then one insider, probably an extremist, but certainly very close to Ken Mellman, abruptly stopped the conversation. He told the table it was impossible that they would lose either house. He also predicted a sweep for the GOP in Ohio. He informed the group that over the last year, in four critical states that the GOP needs to hold on to, purges have been conducted of the voter rolls, and they have just been finished. The insider did not say which four states, but did say that Ohio was among them. His claim was a new Diebold voter registry system has been installed over the last year. The last week of July and the first week of August, a, quote, test run, end quote, was made of the system's ability to purge ineligible voters. The purge generated names and test addresses and sent letters out to 1.2 million Ohio addresses with a focus on universities and apartment addresses with high turnover. He claims they made the letters seem just functionary, but they do have an action component to avoid being purged from the rolls. The insider warmed up and said Blackwell was brilliant in how he did this. Keep in mind, this is a bunch of Republicans sitting around. The letter goes on for a long time about changes in Ohio voting and security and suggests people who have concerns could come by county offices and confirm their continued voting eligibility before Election Day. He further added that since it was conducted as a, quote, test, end quote, they only sent letters to a limited number of suspect addresses. And he said, quote, I suspect Blackwell chose criteria very, very favorable for us, end quote. Further, the insider stated that Blackwell had only purged the list after a full 60 days was given for people to respond, which means that even if a voter was on the termination list, they would still have been eligible to vote in the primary. So people get the letter. They don't realize, they don't read four pages of legalese and get to the last sentence that says, if you don't let us know that you actually got this in 60 days, your name will be purged. They got the letter. They didn't do anything about it. They go down to vote in the primary. No problem. They can show up. They can vote. They think everything's fine. They go home. And last week, they got purged. He told the table they believe the purge has probably caught up, quote, hundreds of thousands of students, activists, and wanderers with no real job, end quote. This is what the guy told the table. They're going to show up at the polls and have to vote provisionally. In other words, they're going to be given a ballot. They're going to say, well, we can't find your name on the list. Here's a provisional ballot. Fill it out. We'll figure it out later. They're going to think that they voted. They're going to fill out a ballot. They're going to walk home thinking that they voted. And when that provisional ballot is compared with the voter rolls, that person's not on the roll, throw it away. He goes on to say, I'm going to assume Mr. Blackwell's test purge went to no one registered GOP. His criteria is something I'm trying to get a copy of now. So then he gets a hold of a couple of people in Ohio and says, go check, because Ohio polls are open now for early voting. Go into a couple of precincts and just see what's going on. In Lorain County, my friend arrived to find a line of over 15 people, many of whom had come back for the second time, all of them Democrats, who had arrived to vote and all had been told that their driver's license information, or in one case home ownership information, did not match the address provided for voter registration. They had been purged. In one case, a college student had been purged because he had changed dorms on campus. In another case, a local blue-collar worker had been purged because his voter registration had included only his building address, but his driver's license included an apartment number. This tiny difference in information had led to his being purged. While everyone present seemed to have enough information to allow the records to be updated, my friend told me it was being done one by one, and there was only one clerk, and it was taking a long time, about 5 minutes per person to resolve. Everyone in line confirmed that several voters had given up in frustration and left. That was in Lorain County. In Wayne County, they found the same thing. The first person who showed up who had been purged was a student from a local college. She was sent away and told to come back with more ID than just student ID to prove that she was actually a resident at the college. She was wearing a shared brown button. Get ready, Ohio. The fix is in. There's a reason why Bush and Rove, you know, the Washington Post ran this very weird story over the weekend on Sunday, this very weird story. Bush and Rove inexplicably upbeat about November results. Inexplicably upbeat. George W. Bush, he was asked by you know, hey, all the polls show that you guys are going to lose control of the House and probably the Senate. And he said, nope. I remember election night, 2004. I was doing election coverage at WDEV in Vermont, one of our affiliate stations. I lived in Montpelier, Vermont at the time, WDEV in Waterbury, about a half-hour drive away. Ken Squire and I are doing election coverage. It's 10:20 at night, and we get an AP feed. We carried it live. I recorded it, in fact, where the Associated Press announcer says, Karen Hughes just sat George Bush down and told him that he's lost the presidency of the United States, that it's going to John Kerry. And then the announcer says, but Bush did not seem bothered by this and decided to go to bed. 22 minutes later, the Associated Press announced that Bush had won. It's going to happen again, I'm telling you. It's going to happen again. Lee in Springfield, Oregon. Hey, Lee, what's up?
Yes, hello. Hey, I saw you Friday in Eugene. It was great.
Well, thanks for showing up, and thanks for listening on KOPT. What's up?
Yeah, well, you know, I wonder if there are other states that have such letters going out, you know.
According to this insider, there are four states where this is being done. Ohio is the only one that we know of for sure.
Okay, well, you know, I think we can probably count on the usual suspects like Florida and Texas.
Unless they've already done it.
True. And then, you know, I think all we have to do is look for states that have Republican governors
and secretaries of state. Right. Yep. That's and it shouldn't be too hard to filter this out and figure it out.
Maybe Missouri, maybe Maryland. You know, those are battleground states for the Senate.
Connecticut, Pennsylvania.
Yep. So we don't have to look too far.
New York,
but yeah, and they do have a.
But I think that they're giving up on New York. I think they're going to walk away from New York. But
well,
yeah,
probably.
No, absolutely, Lee. And, and we need to be tracking this down. Thanks a lot for the call. I got to move along here. Bill in Chicago, Illinois. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Tom. Listen, you know, I wanted to point out the fact that you know, let your listeners know that in the 1920s, when that anti-evolution law was passed that led to the Stroop's monkey trial in Tennessee,
right?
The same scenario went through with our DLC Democrats. Everybody in the lower house voted for it because they didn't want to take the political hit, and they thought the upper house of the legislature would kill it.
Right.
Everybody in the upper legislature voted for it because they didn't want to take the political hit because they were sure the governor would veto it. And, of course, they ended up with the law in the books. It made them look like complete fools.
Yeah. So you're talking about in Tennessee.
Yeah. There's no profiles and courage going to come out of this Congress, I'll tell you.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, well said, Bill. Thank you.
I wanted to know, where can I, you know, I know Landrieu from Louisiana had to be one of the ones that voted for this bill. Where can we get the list of the other senators that voted for this bill?
The list was posted when it first happened over on our message boards. I'm sure it's still there, and you could probably search it fairly easily or just ask somebody. Drop into the chat room at TomHartman.com or go to the message boards at TomHartman.org, and if it's not there, somebody will put it there quickly.
I sure want to make sure none of my contributions ever go to these people in their careers.
Yeah, well said, Bill.
You know, the other thing is, you know, almost the same scenario in Germany. I mean, you know, when they wanted to pass those enabling acts, which really gave Hitler his dictatorial powers, the Nazis didn't have control of the Reichstag. They didn't have a majority. It ended up being the Catholic Party that voted with them because they didn't really like the communists either.
Yeah, and they that was the bugaboo, was the communists were behind the burning of the Reichstag.
Right, yeah. And you know, so people think dictatorship comes in these grand gestures. It comes in these mediocre steps. That's how it comes. You know?
Absolutely. Well said, Bill. And we'll continue with that theme in a few minutes. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
And thanks for listening to us there in Chicago. It's 16 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. We're going to talk to Larry Scott about what's going on at the VA in just a few minutes, and then we'll be back on topic with this and your calls. The death of America. 16 minutes past the hour.
But that's not the world I live in. This is not the life for me. My world's bigger than your problems, and it's bigger than me.
That's not the world I live in. This is not the life for me. 'Cause my world's bigger than your problems, and it's bigger than me.
And welcome back to Tom Hartman Radio Program, brought to you in part by Sacred Grounds Coffee, saving the planet one cup at a time. 1-800-425-2532. Ask about their fall specials. And you want a real treat, ask about their Ethiopian coffee. 1-800-425-2532. This program powered by caffeine from Sacred Grounds Coffee. Larry Scott is with us with VAWatchdog.org, keeping an eye on the VA because somebody has to, and he's in the studio today. What a treat, Larry, to see you face-to-face.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's great to be here. Nice to be in the studios. Am I allowed to see the call letters?
Here we are at AM620 KPOJ.
KPOJ in Portland, Oregon, but broadcasting on Air America Radio around the country.
That's right.
And it's great. Great to be with you.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you... And you see the picture of Der Fuhrer up here. It's... Dick Cheney in an SS uniform. Isn't that marvelous?
If the uniform fits, and it really does, that's a very well-fitting uniform, I must say.
Yeah, it is. It is. Anyhow, VAWatchdog.org, keeping an eye on the VA because somebody has to. You were telling me during the break about, we've been talking about sleazy political deals the Republicans are doing. Mm-hmm. There's one that involves the Veterans Administration.
It really does. And we have talked before about the Veterans Disability Benefits Commission. This is the Republican-appointed commission that is studying veterans benefits. Literally every benefit from top to bottom. It's a scary, scary committee. It's politically stacked 9-4 with extremely conservative Republicans. And they have been told to go out and determine whether the disability or death of a veteran should be compensated. That's right in the charter. And at what level, if any?
Well,
and that alone is, I'll tell you how scary this is, Tom. Our conservative veterans organization, the American Legion, the VFW, which we consider to be pretty much to the right politically, even they are afraid of this commission. But they're very clever with this commission, too. Because the Veterans Disability Benefits Commission final report was due last week.
Not good timing.
No,
that
would have been
going to be that they're going to screw the veterans.
Well, it is, as a matter of fact. It's going to be a bad report 4 weeks before a major election. Well, anyway, guess who applied for and got a one-year extension?
Would that be Mr. Nicholson?
No, actually, it would be his name is General Terry Scott. Okay,
who is the head of this commission.
Yeah, they consider themselves an independent bipartisan commission. They are not. They are Republican controlled. So we're not going to have a report from the Veterans Disability Benefits Commission. That's going to be delayed a year right in between the elections. But it would have been devastating. It would have been politically devastating to the Republicans to have this report come out now and show exactly what they want to do with veterans benefits in this country.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. Now, you also, among your headlines here, DOD releases report on infectious deployment diseases. What's this?
This is a series of five reports that the Department of Defense has been doing since 1991, and it looks at Southwest Asia, and basically we're talking about veterans who are in the Gulf War from 1991 to veterans who are in Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom, we call OEF, OIF right now. So for 16 years, they have been looking at infectious diseases. What the troops are picking up over there, and also what the troops are carrying back home. There are really no major bombshells in this, and mainly they have come up with a lot of diseases that we have heard the names of before. But this is good news for veterans because the Department of Defense is saying, yes, these diseases, you can pick them up in these countries. They do have 34 long-term health effects that you will be noticing in veterans. So this is one of those nice flags that go up to the VA hierarchy, and therefore VA doctors are informed that if you see someone with these symptoms who served in this area during the last 15 years, this is what you should look for.
This is a disease you're not going to see in Cleveland, Ohio.
That's true, and you're not going to see in Portland, Oregon, or Omaha, or any place else. But most likely, this person did contract this disease while on active duty, and they are available for veterans benefits, and the VA will treat them. So it's good news.
Oh, good. That's great. Here's another one. Veterans care a concealed cost of war. VA takes 9 months to find information.
VA denied they even had information, and what the George Washington University had asked for was quite simply, how many veterans who have fought in Iraq and Afghanistan are getting VA benefits? Simple question, simple answer. VA said, well, we don't keep any records like that. out-and-out, bald-faced lie. The GWU had to, it was actually the National Security Archive at George Washington University, had to file a Freedom of Information Act request, and it took the VA 9 months to come up with the statistics. The statistics tell us exactly what we know. About a third of the troops are coming back. They need VA care. A lot of that is mental health care, Tom.
Amazing and tragic. Larry Scott, VAWatchdog.org, the website, check it out. Just check it out. It's an amazing and brilliant compendium of information about the veterans' issues. Larry, thanks for being with us here today in the studio.
Thank you, Tom.
27 minutes past the hour. It's the pill that will help you escape the matrix. The Tom Hartman Radio Program. Be right back. Well, not everything is broken. I still think we can fix this. I really do. It's 34 minutes past the hour. By the way, heads up, Friday, October 27th, University of San Francisco War Memorial Gymnasium. Jack Armstrong, Joe Getty, Jerry Doyle, Rusty Humphries on the right. Stephanie Miller, Rachel Maddow, Johnny Steele, and me on the left. A debate moderated by the Honorable Willie Brown right there in San Francisco. You can hear it. You can get free tickets. Excuse me. You can get free tickets to attend. This is a week from Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. You can get free tickets to attend at quakeradio.com and do it. You know, if you really plan on showing up and show up, because we need a good cheering section. I'm telling you, it's gonna be an interesting one. And it'll be played on both the right wing and the left wing stations in San Francisco, both on the Quake, which carries this program, and also on KNEW, which is the conservative station in town. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. Our main topics today, the possibility that the voting rolls in Ohio are being purged, you know, a major purge underway. And you can find a whole discussion of it over at the Daily Kos. If you don't know how to get there or you don't know the link to it, go to tomhartman.org, and you'll find a link there on our message board or tomhartman.com. Click message boards. It'll take you to tomhartman.org, which is where our message boards are located, and you can get in there. Pat in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma on the line. Hey, Pat, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. I'm wondering what you think of asking the non-democratic listeners this question: at what point will you say enough is enough? It seems to me that this administration seeking total domination can only have that, can only succeed by taking the weapons away from we the people, totally disarming the populace.
Yeah, no, this has got nothing to do with guns, Pat. I'm telling you, every gun in America would not stand against the military machine that is the United States military. You know, it's in fact the whole idea that the Second Amendment was to allow citizens to rise up against their government in time of distress is flawed. It was really part of a plan to have a citizens militia like Switzerland has, where everybody is a member of the military in time of need. If the founders had meant for people to have guns so that they could rise up against an oppressive government, they would have said that we would have the right to own whatever the state of military technology is. At the time, it would have been cannons and warships. And citizens were not allowed to own cannons and warships back in the Revolutionary era. They're not allowed to own, you know, rocket launchers and shoulder-fired missiles now. No, that's not going to happen. To be an electoral... You know, to the extent that a revolution is necessary in the United States, it has to be an awakening and a political revolution.
Well, I didn't ask it in an antagonistic question, you know, towards the government. What I was saying is that during the election and stuff, the debates and everything, a lot of people were worried about the Democrats taking away our guns and Bibles.
Sure.
Well, I was thinking, when will the Republicans and non-Democrats say that, oh, this administration is getting too much power, oh, now they want our guns. Maybe what they said against the Democrats wasn't true, you know.
There are a lot of people who are on the right who are, you know, people of goodwill, people like Congressman Ron Paul from Texas, for example, who opposed the Patriot Act and has opposed a lot of this stuff. you know, real true conservatives or libertarians who see this as just an absolute wrong, unlawful, illegal, terrible power grab that should not happen and should not be allowed to stand.
Mm-hmm.
The question, I think your question is the question of the day. When is a critical mass of Republicans going to occur and say, okay, we've had enough of these guys.
Right.
We're not going to let this go any farther. And you know, in Germany, the problem was that that critical mass didn't appear before the power was absolutely, the absolute power was seized. You know, the average Germans kept waiting for the Catholic Party or for, you know, which was a very powerful party, a large bloc in Congress, or for the, you know, the socialist workers and the labor parties, you know, the Communist Party. They figured, okay, they're on the left, they're the bad guys. But they kept waiting for the conservative parties to stand up to the Nazis. And they never did until the Nazis had so much power that the conservative parties couldn't stand up to them anymore. And, you know, of course, they have a multi-party system there. We don't. But, you know, how this is going to play out here in the United States is anybody's guess. But I think that your question of when are Republican voters going to stand up and say enough is enough is a real important one. And a lot of that, a lot of the answer to that question, I think, has to do with the media. When are they going to figure out what's happened? I don't think most people in America know what has just happened. And that gets us back to the media. Pat, thank you very much for the call. It's nice to hear from you. I appreciate it. Ernie in Millvale, Pennsylvania on the line. Hey, Ernie, what's on your mind today?
Pennsylvania, Tom. First-time caller.
Well, thank you for calling, Ernie.
I just heard your program on a car coming home, and you talked about Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there any kind of an agency or a department that can oversee all this?
Yes.
What they're doing in Ohio?
Yes, in fact, it is being overseen right now by the Secretary of State's office in Ohio, and it's the Secretary of State who's responsible for making this happen, legally responsible, who has the job of making sure that the voting rolls are clean and up to date, and that Secretary of State is Ken Blackwell, who is the Republican running for governor.
You know, Tom, all the friends that I have and the neighbors, they don't know a damn thing about what you're talking about. They think I'm nuts.
I know. It's not being reported in the mainstream media outside of Keith Olbermann on MSNBC.
Right.
That's about it.
Right. I like him.
Yeah, he's a good guy. But that's it. I mean,
and I'll tell you what, Tom, I don't see much about the radio or the TV or even the papers, the newspapers. Where are they at?
Yeah, well,
but we're
see,
headed for a dictatorship in this country, and we have it.
I agree, Ernie, and what we need to be doing is calling. You know, I would suggest that you call your local newspapers and ask to talk to the editor-at-large or the ombudsman or whoever, you know, they have who interacts with their readers and say, you know, why are you not covering this issue? This is a big deal. I mean, you know, the powers that Bush has claimed, you guys are not doing your job. And so, anyhow, Ernie, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening and giving us a shout. Keith in Columbus, Ohio. You called Blackwell's office.
Yes, I did. They weren't very helpful, but I called. First, they put me through to somebody's voicemail, but I called back, and they put me on hold for a while. Eventually, I got somebody who said, oh, I haven't heard anything about this. Let me check about the voter rolls. I just asked straight up, you know, is it true that, you know, people have been purged. And when he came back, he said, oh, no one here knows anything about this.
Well, the way to properly phrase the question, Keith, is it true that the Secretary of State is responsible for making sure that only legal voters can vote and that you guys are keeping the voter rolls clean? Because that's how they're framing it.
Yeah. Okay.
See, what they're saying is that if your voter registration information does not line up with your driver's license, for example, that may be an indication of fraud, and their job is to protect the system in Ohio from fraud.
Right. So they're using fraud as the excuse.
Well, it's actually the law requires them to do it.
Right.
You know, it requires them to keep the lists clean. It's just that they're, shall we say, selectively enforcing the law.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. Another thing that was reported a couple days ago at the Daily Coast was that one of the diarists over there has become an election official, you know, working, getting trained to work at the ward or the precinct or whatever. And he's saying that a lot of the people that are over 60, which is a large percentage of the workers, have never really used computers before, and they're having a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of trouble last time, too, because of that.
Yeah. Surprise,
yeah.
Surprise. Okay.
So,
Yeah. Keith, you know, keep us up to date if you learn anything more. But my guess is if you call the Secretary of State's office and ask the question the right way, you'll get the correct answer. But, you know, they're not going to – if you call them up and say, hey, are you guys doing something nefarious, of course they're going to say, no, we're doing what we're required by law to do.
Oh, I just asked, you know, are you purging people from the records? Not even accusing them. It was just –
yeah.
You know, is this happening? And they didn't even know if that. And if that's their duty, they should even say, "Yeah, we're getting rid of."
Well, they don't use the word purge.
Yeah,
they would use the word, you know, making sure that the voter rolls are clean, making sure that the voting rolls have integrity, making sure that the voting rolls actually that only people who are legally entitled to vote are voting. I mean, that's the kind of language that they would be using.
Okay, great. Well,
anyhow,
I'll try that again.
Okay. Good luck, Keith.
Thanks
for listening there in Columbus.
Bye-bye.
Good talking with you. Joy in Santa Cruz, California. Hey, Joy.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know I called Ted Strickland's office, his campaign offices.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with your – is he running for Congress? Or is
he's
a
running
member
against
of Congress?
He's running against Ken Blackwell for governor of Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they
thank you for the reminder.
Yeah, they were completely unaware of this, even though Ted Strickland is 28 percentage points ahead of Blackwell.
Yeah.
They could still mess up the selection that way.
Sure.
And the other thing is, I called the Ohio Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And left a message with their chair.
They need to check.
He needs to check the story out.
Yeah. Good. Good.
So,
yeah, I mean, this
for
you. Yeah, thank you, Joy. Brilliant. Good on you.
Okay.
Much appreciated. I mean, this is a story that literally broke, 4 hours ago now, 5 hours ago? It broke about an hour and a half, 2 hours before we went on the air. And it appears that it's been solidly confirmed. I can't say absolutely that it's been solidly confirmed, but it's absolutely in line with, it's identical to what they did in Florida in 2000. And we know that they did some of this in Ohio in 2004. So it just makes perfect sense. And would explain why Bush and Rove are going, we got nothing to worry about. 45 minutes past the hour.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those gnats in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the feel that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay. Democracy is coming to the USA.
From your lips to God's ears, Leonard Cohen. 9 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. This from the Toledo Blade. Ralph and Barbara George are lifelong Democrats who first registered to vote for John F. Kennedy in 1960 and have lived in the same East Toledo house for 44 years. They called the Lucas County Board of Elections early last year to make sure they were still registered to vote. Informed they were, they went on with life, including helping their son, just home from military service, to purchase a new home. Then last fall, they applied for absentee ballots. It was then that they were surprised to discover, too late to do anything about it, that they were somehow no longer registered and would not be allowed to vote in the general election. At the last minute, they learned they could cast provisional ballots, so they hustled down to their polling place and did so. It was a waste of time. Their votes were thrown out. The date on this? January 2005. This is about the November election in 2004. Mrs. George says, nothing surprises me anymore. When she discovered last week their votes were fruitless, she said, my God, we are 66 years old. We registered when we first turned 21. We've been living in the same house for 44 years, and I can't vote? It just seems ridiculous that you have to keep re-registering if you don't vote. It just turned into plain absolute frustration. The Toledo Blade continues, an examination of records showed that because of inactivity in recent elections, they were purged from voter rolls in August, less than 3 months before the presidential election. They weren't alone. Of the 3,122 provisional ballots from the November 2nd general election that were rejected in Lucas County, 64% were bounced because the voter was not registered. 64% of the people who showed up and were said, oh, you're going to have to use a provisional ballot, their vote was never counted. Of those, 405 had been registered until they were purged from the county election rolls in August, just months before the presidential election. More than 28,000 voters were purged from the Lucas County rolls last summer, a move the county elections director Paula Hicks Hudson said had nothing to do with politics, everything to do with following federal law. She said they received a notice that they were on the inactive list and subject to removal. We were required to do it under a federal law. It's a process we do to make the rolls more accurate. They failed to participate. Yeah. Lucas County had a higher percentage of provisional ballots, 77%, than any other state in the nation. Excuse me, Ohio. Michigan counted 57%, Pennsylvania counted 50%, Georgia counted just 30%. I'm telling you, it's happening again. It is happening again. Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Tom. I'm not sure if anyone's brought up this concept to you before, but I'm a native Ohioan. I lived 20 years in Georgia and even Florida for a couple of years, and I know there's shenanigans. I wouldn't doubt Georgia is one of those states that is disenfranchising Democratic voters.
See, I don't think they have to in Georgia. It's 100% voting on machines that have no paper trail.
Yeah, yeah. Anyhow, I've been a registered Republican for many years, and, you know, when it comes to the general election, who knows who you voted for? Some people are under the assumption that just because they believe in the philosophy of a certain political party that that's where they should register. I see a lot of independents disenfranchised in the primaries because a lot of states don't have hardly anybody independent running in the primaries.
Right.
So this also, being a registered Republican, I get their literature because they send literature to registered Republicans.
Right.
Also in the primary, if someone is running against somebody I particularly don't like Gordon Smith, anybody running against him, I will vote for them to try to push the worst of the two out.
So your suggestion is we should all re-register as Republicans?
Yes, it's too late this year, but I've preached that to a lot of people, and they don't take me seriously.
Oh, that's an interesting theory, Joe. It's an interesting theory. Thanks for the call and the idea. Interesting. Rami in Bakersfield, California. Hey, Rami, what's on your mind today?
How are you doing, Tom?
Good. What's up?
I have another topic I want to speak to you about, but I might as well ask you about a couple of questions about these states. I believe I'm one of the other three states that's intimidating voters. We just found out actually yesterday that letters are going out to immigrant voters stating that if they go out and vote on November 7th, they're going to be deported back to their countries of origin. Now, I mean, where are they coming up with that? I mean,
this is to people who are U.S. citizens and legal to vote, but they're naturalized citizens. Is that the deal?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So this is identical to the letters that went out to people in several southern states before the 2004 election, largely in African-American communities or in poor white communities, telling them that if any member of their family had as much as a parking ticket, when they show up at the election at the poll, they would be arrested and taken to jail until the cost of that outstanding parking ticket was resolved. And so, you know, thousands of people just didn't show up at the polls because they thought, well, I don't know, maybe a member of my family, maybe one of my cousins has a parking ticket.
Right.
Yeah, this is the same thing is going on in California right now. This is, I mean, these guys, they know no shame. That's the bottom line. They know no shame. And they believe that the ends justify the means. It's essentially what Bush said yesterday when he signed this law that makes him king, is that, you know, we need to look back from the history of 50 years forward. The ends justify the means. Remember, my friends, democracy and activism begin with you. They really and truly do. Tomorrow, by the way, we're going to have on the only, so far, the first declared Republican candidate for President of the United States. See you then. And as I said, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. We'll see you.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.